trying to sing so you couldn't hear me. All right, people, if you haven't figured out, I was the lost sheep. I was the lost sheep. We got to start at the beginning. I was born the sixth of seven siblings. We were in church every time that it was open. Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. Many of you speak of the love and the care you remember in your homes. That was not the family I was born into. There was no evidence of Jesus in our home. It was a place that was harsh, filled with criticism and cruel words and deeds. I was 16 years old. I was still in church, maybe. I walked into school, the very first day of school, my sophomore year in high school. We had a new math teacher. Surprisingly, I did very well in math. I know some of you can't believe this, but I did. He set us all down, gave everybody a test, and began to rearrange the classroom by whoever did the poorest set in the front row, first seat. Next poorest to the next. Remember, I told you I did very well in class. In math, I was the second highest score. I sat clear back in the back, me and another guy, as far away from the desk as we could sit. So what happened here was not personal. He found out, this young boy, third seat in the front row, wanted to be an engineer. He tormented that kid to tears every single day. Sunday, I go to church. Anybody want to guess who our new youth leader is? All in favor of the math teacher? You bet. At that point, I'd had enough. I couldn't see where going to church did any good. It didn't do any good in my home. And it certainly didn't do any good in that classroom, and it certainly didn't do any good for that young man. I was done. And you know how smart we are at 16? So smart, make such wise decisions. I did not walk back into church until 22 years later. I was 38. I just had my first, fifth baby. I love my babies, but I was tired. Had to have a C-section. That little C-section incision kept gapping open, and I'm standing in the bathroom trying to figure out how to help that thing heal. My 3.5-year-old was trying to help me because I can't see what's going on down there. She's trying to help me get the medicine on there, put this thing back together. She walks out of the room. I'm standing there thinking, I don't know if I can do this. I just don't know if I can do this. I'm grateful to my parents for their going to church. Our first song, Call Upon the Lord, I cried out to God. God, my body really stinks. I feel I've been a mess here. I just want your way. I just want your will. This might be hard for some of you to believe, but it is my experience as I stand here. I felt what I can only describe as warm oil poured over my head and creeped its warmth and its love down me until it got to my toes. I've never known what it feels like to be that loved. I've never known. Myself and my kids in church. married. I didn't have those five kids by myself, mind you. But he wasn't going with us. I remember one of the first things that they talked about was the fruit of the spirits, and I thought, well, I want some of that. The love and the peace and the self-control and the, maybe I won't make such stupid decisions once I have some of that in me. And then I realized there wasn't any room for that in me. What was in me was anger and unforgiveness and even some hate for some people. I just wanted in there what God wanted in me. And I realized how important it was to put off before I can put in. And the only way I could get rid of that is to forgive. Oh, well, there were some people I didn't want to forgive. I thought they didn't have it coming. But I realized it was just for me. That forgiveness was just for me. And it was just for me and my relationship with Jesus that he showed me it's just as easy as giving it to him. There were people there I could never have a conversation with. But between me and Jesus, I could let go of it. It sounds easy, but it wasn't always. But I learned through the years, anytime any of those thoughts come into my head that want to torment me, I didn't have to be tormented unless I allowed it to torment me. I could give it to Jesus just as quick as it came into my head. There were days that I did it probably hundreds of times. No, Lord, I'm not doing this. I give it to you. I'm not letting this take over my life again. I refuse. You promise I can cast this onto you, and I cast it. How many of you know John 3:16? Can we say it? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Who here knows John 17? Because this one I really like. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. Probably one of the hardest thoughts for me to get rid of was the condemnation I felt. Oh, I was raised in a hellfire and brimstone church. Don't think I wasn't. And as I began to read and study and understand more and more about God, I was like, why did nobody tell me? God loves me. This is all about love. What I felt that afternoon in the bathroom was real. He loves me. We're still working on that, God and me. But he hadn't given up on me yet. But the really important part is to know that God's love is perfect. It's always perfect. He may not give us what we want, but he gives us what we need. And he gives us what's best. But his past will be best for us. Now, in the middle of all this, I'll tell you my truly most favorite verse is Proverbs. Starts at verse 8. I'm sure you know this too. Let not steadfast love or faithfulness forsake you. Bind them around your neck and write them on the tablets of your heart, so you will find favor and good success in the sight of God and men. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not lean on your own understanding. And in all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make straight your path. Be not wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and turn away from evil. It will be healing to your flesh and a refreshment to your bones. I found as I trusted Jesus more and more and more, he began to heal me more and more and more. I have found that Jesus gives us beyond what we could ever think or imagine. I couldn't give him any suggestions, because he knows them. He knows what I need, and he knows what I needed. And he knew I needed you. And I am so grateful that I ended up here. I could not have thought or imagined what God's had in store for me here. And I am really grateful for each and every one of you and love you so. Let's pray. Oh, Jesus, I'm so grateful for you. I'm so grateful that you never leave me, you never forsake me. You're always right there with me. And Lord, you know I am still a work in progress. But I am grateful you're still working on me. Again, I ask you to just be with us. Continue to lead us, guide us. Help us all to trust you and you only. And it's in that most precious name that I pray. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. I live.